We're starting here on the top of Vav Amud Aleph, continuing what began 2 days ago, which was the machlok between Abaye and Rovo, with regards to one who takes action against the Torah, whether that action is efficacious or not. Abaye says, the Torah says, don't do something, that means that you have the ability to do it. It will be done, just you'll have to suffer the consequences of doing something against the Torah. Rovo says, no, the Torah forfeited your right to act against it. If the Torah says you can't do it, it means that there is no such action available to you. And if you do it, it's not an action, it's not efficacious. You'll get makot because you violated the word of the Torah. So we've been going through many different examples. Some of them questions on Abaye, some of them questions on Rovo. And we're going to continue with those examples here on the top of Vav Amud Aleph, about 5 lines down. V'arei gezel. Rachmana amar lo tigzol. Torah says you're not allowed to steal. V'tna'an, we have a Mishnah, Baba Kamo, Gozel Eitzim Vasan Kelim, Tzemer Vasan Bigadim. So when a person steals something, for instance, he steals wood, and he makes them into utensils. He steals wool, and makes them into clothing. Mishalim Kishat Hagzela. He pays based on the time of the theft. So this is it, Yuvta Derovo. Why you have here what's called Shinui Koneh. Shinui Koneh means that when the Gazlan steals something, and then he changes it to the point that it's no longer returnable to the original status, the original item. You have shinui, and that shinui allows him to be koneh, allows him to take possession of the item. Because he takes possession of the item, that means that where's the point of theft? The point of theft is when he took it away from going or being able to be returned to the original owner. So at the point of shinui, that's when he stole the item. And that's Bishat Gzela here, because he took them and then he changed them. So to Yuvta Derovo, because here you have the ability to act against the Torah and to actually take something away. Because it says about the person who must return that which he stole, it says Veshivet Gzela, Asher Gazal, Kima Shigazal. And a person when they steal something, it says Veshivet Gzela, Asher Gazal. If it says Veshivet Gzela, Asher Gazal, it means that you have the ability. You have the access to being, or to stealing. The Torah is saying you can steal, and therefore you must be meshivet, you must return it. So Asher Gazal is an indication that you have the ability to take it out of the possession of others. The other way you could read it is, Asher Gazal, Kamasha Gazal, teaches you that you have to return it the exact way that you found it. Meaning that the requirement to return an item as is, and to not be effective in stealing it, is v'shiva gzela asher gazal, that you return the gzela that you stole. Only if it is what you stole are you obligated to return it. If it's not what you stole, then you're not obligated to return it intact. You must pay compensation for it. So that would also be an indication of your ability to be effective in stealing, because the return of the object is not the object itself, but rather the compensation for the object. And that would be v'shiva gzela asher gazal. There are two possibilities of how to read the Asher Gazal and Rovo. One is either that the focus is on the ability to steal, and therefore you have to be Heshiv at Gzela Asher Gazal, or the fact is that the Heshiva at Gzela, meaning you're being ineffective in stealing because you must return the original object, is only when it's Asher Gazal. If it looks the same as what you stole, if it looks differently than what you stole, you no longer have that obligation to return the exact item, but rather just to compensate for what you stole. So the Baye, Hay Asher Gazal mi boile. And need Asher Gazal to teach you yours, the possessive Gzela. I mean, it's your Gzela, not someone else's Gzela. And that is, if someone takes a Shuat Sheker about taking something or withholding money from somebody, and later on they admit that they did so, pay a Keren V'Chomesh to the Baalim. That Keren V'Chomesh is only paid if it was your Gzela. But if you are paying on behalf of your parent, who you inherited, in that case, you don't pay the extra fifth. It's only when you pay your own Shvat Sheker, when you're only paying for your own misdeed, do you pay a Keren V'Chomesh. But if it's your father's misdeed, you do not have to pay the extra Chomesh. So that's Vashir Zela Asher Gazal. Then only the one that you were Gozel do you have to return with this extra on it. Whereas the one of your father, which is not Asher Gazal, that you did not steal, you don't have to be Mosif Chomesh. Alright, next question. It comes from Ari Mashkom. What about collateral? Rachmana Amar, lo tavo beito, lavot avuto. Should not go into his house to take an avot, to take a piece of collateral for the loan. Rashi points out over here right away, we're talking about, me mashkinim bal korcho. Talking about a case where you're taking a mashkon against the will of the borrower. This isn't where Beit Din is going in. It's not a case where he did it at the time of the loan. This is something that after the fact he's going in, and against his will he's taking a mashkon. It's none. And we have a mission that says, Machzir takar balaylo veta machresha bayom. That one must return a pillow at night, and he must return the plow during the day. So to yuv to durovo. It's a question on rova. Here you are successful at taking a mashkon, despite the fact that the Torah says do not take the mashkon. Nevertheless, you are successful at it, and you have to return it. I mean that you have to take the mashkon, you have to return the pillow at night, you have to return the plow during the day. Now, to be honest with you, it's a little difficult.
It says that you're not, there are cases that you're allowed to take mashkon.
Right, okay, so that your question.
He won't be able to sleep without his blanket.
Right, correct. Your point is well taken, which is, this is a very difficult gemara, because what's saying here is you must return it at night. You can keep it during the day, for instance. But that's exactly what the Torah says. The Torah says you're allowed to take his pillow during, or his blanket during the day. You're not allowed to keep it at night. And that's what the Mishnah says. Mishnah says return it at night, you can keep it during the day. So where is he violating the Torah over here by taking this mashkon? So that's the difficulty here. Tosafot gives in one line, tries to give some sort of answer to that. Rashi doesn't even address it, but Tosafot says in the first line, he says, Dilo Mahani, had you not been successful, Lohiya Tfisato Tfisa, then your taking the Mashkon would not have been successful at all. Fact is, if the taking of the Mashkon was unsuccessful, you should have to return the Mashkon entirely. The fact that here you're allowed to keep the Mashkon part of the time shows that you are successful at taking a Mashkon. Now you're right, it's still governed by the Torah law, and you're still following exactly what the Torah says. So it's not so clear where your violation of the Torah came about, but maybe in the etzem taking of the mashkon, that was problematic. The fact that the Torah now allows you to keep it part-time shows that your action of taking the mashkon is successful. So Amar Chal Rav Shani Hotom, Damar Kra, Pasuk says, Hashev Tashiv, that you must return it. So the double lotion of Hashev Tashiv, or Hashev Tashivenu, that you must say shachiv tishivenu lo mirbuya dukra nafkalan the magzir kama pe'amim, that shachiv tishivenu lo, that double lashon teaches you that you don't have to just return it once, you must return it multiple times. Shachiv tishivenu lo means that multiple times you will return it to him because you are successful at taking the mashkon. You were not successful at taking the mashkon, you return it to him once, you wouldn't get it back again, you wouldn't see it again. The fact that you have to return it to him multiple times means that you're successful at taking this mashkon, and then you have to follow the prescription of the Torah, which is to give it back at night and keep it during the day. Ulubaya ilav damar rachmana shev tashivenu havimina isura abad. He did an isur, ibayna hadar biyiboy lo nehadar. Again, the same idea that you did the isur, now you have a choice. You want to rectify the isur, give it back. You don't want to rectify the isur, you keep it, and you'll get makolt, you'll be in violation of the isur. But you get a choice. Kamash v'la'an ha-shivit t'shiven lo is that it's a tzivui. You must give it back to him. You don't have a choice in the matter. You take it, you're going to have to give it back. Now that's one lashon in Rashi. Rashi has a second girso. You say, achi garsinan in Rashi. Lishna achrina. Amar lecha rav shani hatam. Now the girso, the second girso in Rashi, has different psukim that are quoted over here. Diktiv. Ad bo ha-shemesh t'shiven lo. V'tarshinan lei ba-mekabel hachi kol yom ad sh'yavo ha-shemesh t'shiven lo loveh. That all day until the sun sets, you must give it back to the borrower. And when the sun sets, again, you take it from him. Mikan, the ksut yom, shenitna lichabel balaylo. Here you see that when it comes to day wear, you're allowed to take it at night. Uchtiv krach rino. And if another pasuk says, hashev tishivenu kuvo hashemesh. That when the sun sets, you must return it to him at that point in time. Bikan the ksut laila shenali chabel bayom. At night wear you can take during the day. Mihocha nafkalan demahani. So you see that it works. Vabaye amar locho labla shmuinion demahani. That's not coming to teach us that it works. Elechad the ksut yom shiachzerenu bayom. Vechad ksut laila shiachayv the ksaro balaila. So the question revolves around the fact that the Torah says you must give it back. The fact that you must give it back shows you that your action didn't work. Along the lines of what you were asking, David, if the Torah says you're giving it back, and you're giving it back, you're following exactly what the Torah says. So in that case, it's a question on Abaye, because it's showing you that the Torah is saying, you can't take the mashkon, you can't keep it, you must give it back. So Abaye says, that's not why the Torah gives two parshiot, one about ksut yom and one ksut laila. It was necessity, there was a necessity to talk about ksut yom and ksut laila separately, not to teach you this obligation to give it back and you're not successful at taking it, but rather, v'hai v'tzrichi, loit parishlan. And the Gemara ends, v'tzrichi. So Rashi says, I don't know what that tzricha is. Venerally. And I guess, I'll tell you what I think it is. And it's just talking about day wear or day items like a plow. Since that's his livelihood, you would have to give it back. But maybe night wear, you don't have to give him back. If it had only been about the night issues, because at night, he doesn't have his clothes, he doesn't have his pillow, he's in personal pain, difficulty. But this thing, that he doesn't have his plow, maybe that would be fine. So the Torah has to specify each one separately, not to teach you that you don't have a right to keep it, not to teach you that you're not successful at getting it, but rather to teach you that Yom and Laila have different dinim, and each one of them has the same din that you must return it. That's the alternative girsa, and the Lishna Achrina was a question on Abaye, not on Rava. So the Lishna Achrina is also again interesting over here. We had that in the case where we dealt with in the first situation by the Ones, by the rapist. Also, the Gemara first brought it as a question on Rava, and then at a Lishna Achrina, that was a question on Abaye. So very similar setup here. It's not found in the Gemara, but Rashi has it. You can see in the Gemara that there's a little parenthesis that say Chas Lishna Achrina. That Lishna Achrina is missing. Obviously, Rashi is telling us that there was a Lishna Achrina, or there was an alternative girsa over here. Hare Peah. Next question comes from Peah. Rahman Amar, Lo Techale Patzadcha, Bikitzrecha. That you're not allowed to wipe out the edge of your field when you go to harvest. You must leave it over for the poor people. Mitzvah, mitzvah peyah lafrish minakama. Proper way to do the mitzvah is to take it off, or to leave the peyah, leave the corner, while it's still planted, while it's still standing in the field. Lo yifrish minakama, if he doesn't do that, he harvests it. Yifrish min amarim. He'll separate it out from the piles that are found out in the field. Lo yifrish min amarim, if he doesn't do it from the piles in the field, yifrish min akri. Takes that of the piles when he's working on it, when they are threshing the produce, ad shelo mirchu, until he reaches the end of that gemar melacha, mircho. If he already reaches the gemar melacha, then he has to be masro menotenlo. Then he gives the payah, but now he has already, there's a chiyuv of trumot to masrot already. He must be mafrish trumot to masrot, and then give it to him. Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Amru, af mashpish min ha'isa, even as far as going to the isa, that you can still give it. It's not enough of a shinoi that is no longer called peyah, and you still have to give it to the poor people in terms of peyah. So this is a tziyufta de Abaye. It's a problem for Abaye, because you see here that you are unsuccessful at taking the peyah. Here a person wants to steal the peyah, so he doesn't give it while it's standing. He doesn't give it when it's namarim. So he's taking it every time. He's taking what he's supposed to give. And yet each time we say he's unsuccessful at taking it because he's got to give it still. Still got to give the payah. The pasuk says, tazov, tazov. So we actually saw this together already. At the end of Pulin, that the sukim by the matnot of payah, and some of the matnotim say tazov, tazov twice. Tazov yitera, to teach you that even when you take it, you still have a requirement to give it. And the Torah still demands of you, even after you've taken it, that you give it. We've always said that if the Torah tells you something, you have to keep it. So even though if you're taking it, you should be successful at taking it, nevertheless the Torah still demands of you to give it. And because of that extra tazov, therefore, you must give it. Rav ha-malacha yesh lecha ziva acheret kshikazu. Rav ha-darshiz it in another way, which is something also we saw over there, that you have another type of giving which is identical to the original giving, which is Ezuzet. This is a case of Mefkir Karmo, someone who makes his vineyard Hefker. Hefker, you don't have to give Matnot Aniyim for something that's Hefker. The Tanya, Mefkir Karmo, but then instead of leaving it Hefker, Vishkim Lamedah Shachar, he gets up the next morning, Ubatzro, and then he decides, you know what, I'm going to keep it for myself. Chayav. Beferet ve'ololot, v'shicha u'peyah. You're chayav in all these matnot aniyim, u'patur mina maser. But not, you're not chayav in maser. Again, matnot aniyim are patur mina hefker. So maser is no different. They're all, do not have to be given because it was hefker. But over here, because Rav Adashin, the extra tazov, tazov, the extra tazov that's found by these other matnot aniyim, like peret, ololot, shicha and peyah, because of that, there's a demand that even in the face of hefker, and then you reclaim it, you still have to give the matnot aniyim. Even though you're a mafkirit, you still have to give these matnot aniyim. The Sefod Ovir points out, it's not just that you reacquire the fruits or the produce, it has to be that you reacquire the land. If you take the land back into your possession, then we're going to demand of you to give the matnot aniyim, even though technically hefker should be patur min these matnot aniyim, and that's because of this extra limit of tazov tazov. So now, Amalei Ravacha Brei de Rovo, the Ravashi. V'hashto deshaninan kolhane shinuye. Alright, great. We just went through a list of questions. And each one has their own answer to these situations. Debai Rovo b'may plige. Where do they argue? Now the question is, in each of these situations, they in the end agree to whatever the outcome is. Nobody's disagreeing with the position. It's just a question of, it does it support their position? Or do they have to come up with a way to explain why it works this way, even though it's against their position? But nobody disagreed. In every one of these situations, Abaye and Rava agreed to the outcome. In none of these cases do we find them arguing about the underlying halacha. They argue about a principle, but not about the underlying halacha. So he says, they're arguing, they argue about a case where a person takes interest min haTorah. Or good Rabbi Elazar. Damar Rabbi Elazar, ribit k'tzutza yotza b'dayanim. When it comes to taking ribit interest min haTorah, the dayanim have the right to remove it from the one who received the interest. If you take interest, if a creditor takes the interest, then the dayanim will go to the creditor and force him to pay it back to the debtor. Avak ribit, on the other hand, if it's only ribit d'rabanan, eno yotza b'dayanim. The dayanim will not force you to cough up to return that interest that you took. Again, Rashi gives an example of avak ribit, which is a case of avak yedei mecher is done through a transaction. Instead of being done through a loan, it's done through a transaction. Going to mocher sadeo vermar. Person sells his field and says, if you pay now, it's yours for 1,000. If you're going to pay by the harvest, you're going to pay 1,200. So basically, he's saying to him, you owe me the money right now. The sale's done right now. If you don't give me the money till then, you're going to pay extra 200. So that's called interest. But it was done derech mecher. It's done in a transactional nature. That's called avak ribit. So that dayanim don't take out. V'Rabbi Yochanan Amar, afilu ribit k'tzutza. Even ribit ben haTorah, ina yutza b'dayanim. It's not returned by the dayanim. The dayanim have no right to go and extract it from the creditor. It remains with the creditor. So here you have a machloket, that is, Abaye will hold, like Rabbi Yochanan, that it's mehane. You take ribit, you're successful at taking it. You're not supposed to take it, but you're successful at taking it. So successful that the dayanim are not going to make you or force you to give it back, because it's yours now. Rabbi will hold like Rabbi Lazar, that you are not successful when you violate the word of the Torah to take ribit. The dayanim have a right to take it back from you, because you're not successful at taking that ribit. Mara says, Alam, Amalei, Haltam is Hara Pligi? Do they really argue about a logical argument over there? Haltam Bikrai Pligi? Over there, they're arguing about the psukim. I mean, that you're trying to suggest now that Abaye and Rava have the same machloket as Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan. That would suggest that Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar's machloket revolves around this logic about whether you can successfully violate the word of the Torah or not. But that's not what their argument is based on. Their argument is based on a interpretation of the psukim, not about logic. And if it's about interpretation of the pasuk, what does that have to do with Abaye and Rava? It has nothing to do with their machloket. Tell Rabbi Yitzchak, my time with Rabbi Yochanan. What's the reason behind Rabbi Yochanan's position that you don't have to return it? Amar Gra, pasuk says in Yechezkel, when it's talking about bad people, people do the wrong thing. It says, "V'neshech Natan v'tarbit lakach v'chai lo yechiyeh." So it says there that a person who charges interest, that person is not going to live a long life. I mean, you want to live a long life, you did all these bad things, you think you're going to live a long life? So there it says, "L'chaim nitan v'lo lehei shavon," that the punishment is your life. It doesn't say over there you must return it. It says you're going to lose your life. You do such, your life's at risk. It doesn't say that you have to actually return the interest that you took. That's not what it suggests. He says from here, it's a lot easier. Quote a pasuk from Yechezkel as to be the determining factor. Whether you have to return interest is always brings up that question of, wait, isn't this a din min haTorah? What does it have to do with Yechezkel? Why is Yechezkel telling us? Could be that he's clarifying for us what the din haTorah is. But nevertheless, now we have another pasuk from Vayikra, which makes it easier. It says, Vayareto melukecha ani Hashem. The Moran nitativ lo leishavon. When it talks about charging interest, it says there that I know and you must fear God. Now, Chazal interpreted it. There's a Midrash Kalacha over there that says, Vayareto melukecha ani Hashem. I know who lends with interest versus who is really a broker for a non-Jew who's charging interest. Because a person can pass off his money as being that of a non-Jew's money. I'm a broker for a non-Jew. And I'm sorry, the non-Jew's charging you interest. So the person can lie in order to collect interest. So there it says, V'yareitam elokecha ani Hashem. Hashem says, I know whose money is really your money, and when it's really not your money that you are lending out. But the same idea here, V'yareitam elokecha ani Hashem, means that Hashem is the one who will adjudicate and take care of the situation. It's the Marana Tatev Elolei Shavon. It's about between you and God. It's not between the Beitin. The Beitin doesn't get involved over here in terms of returning the monies. Rabba Amar Hochel. Rabba suggests it comes from here. Hatu avot ha'el asa mot yumat dama boye. So v'holid ben paritz shofech dam. So back again to Yechezkel, the same thing about this person who does it. It says hatu avot ha'el asa. Person did all these awful things. Mot yumat, he will die. Dama boye v'holid, and he will give birth to a ben paritz shofech dam. to a wild child that goes ahead and is a murderer.
This pasuk actually precedes the pasuk we brought about the interest. But nevertheless, here you have a description in Yechezkel about an evil person. This evil individual is a murderer, and he's also a collector of interest. And the Gemara now asks, what is the connection between being a murderer and the collection of interest?
That is, ukshum alvei ribit l'shofchei damim. Those that lend with interest are equated to those that spill blood. Ma'shofchei damim lo nitnu le'eshavon. Just like those that kill or murder, you cannot repair, you cannot return it. It's impossible to retract it. Also, people charge with interest. You're in an evil, we do not force you to give it back. All right, so first of all, we just had three psukim to support Rabbi Yochanan. We don't have anything yet to support Rabbi Elazar. Three psukim that support the fact that you don't have to actually return it. My time with Rabbi Elazar. So now we come back. Okay, what's the position of Rabbi Elazar premised on? That it says that you must have your brother live with you, the ability of your brother to live with you. So what does that mean, to live with you? Turn him his interest, so he has the ability to live. The interest is causing him distress, it's causing him to be impoverished. So make sure, return it, so that he has the ability to live comfortably, and he has the ability to succeed. So now we're back to square one. What are they arguing about? Now the answer is, What does that mean? Rashi brings down two girsot, right? So you're turning back and saying, oh, we just had that previous Gemara that said we answered it already, but shinui koneh. So there are two possibilities. One Rashi says is, v'lo itparishlan delave mide benayu. There is no difference between them. Actually, no difference. B'shinui koneh means, elatirutze dani tiyufta demarit lei mishum dahani, lo mahani hu, marit lei mishum time of the cry. There is no difference, it's the drasha. That's all that's between them. I mean, that there is no outcome, that there is no nafkamina between their positions. Because in the end, they're giving you a zvara. Huh?
There's no klali.
I mean, technically there's no principle because the principle's offended in so many situations. But, at least they want to have a position. They can support their position. I mean, that some sukkim support their position, others they can answer the question. And therefore they have a position, but it has no real nafkamina klalocha. And that would be the first answer that Rashi says. That they hear the argument, shinui koneh means, not shinui koneh, the case of shinui koneh, but rather shinui, the way that they learned. Oh, so very good. Tosfot says right away. Alright, so Tosfot asks right away. He goes, you want a nafkamina? I don't know what's so hard for the Gemara. He takes a shvuah. He takes a shvuah that he's not going to divorce this woman. And he goes ahead and he divorces the woman. Very good. Here you go. Shvuah. He took something. Now he's binding by the Torah that he must keep the shvuah. And he may not divorce the woman. He goes in and divorces. Is he successful at divorcing this woman? Machloket Abaye v'Rova. Are you successful at going against the Torah? So he says, all right, maybe that. Why? Because that's an Isur Shibadam Ilibo. He made up the Isur. So maybe that's not what Abaye v'Rova are talking about. Abaye v'Rova are talking about a case where the Isur exists, mina Torah. So then he brings from Kashler Beinu Baruch. Amaylo kamar de pligi lachi kigoni pada bechor maser or charamim. He redeems a bechor maser and charamim that it's mahani or lo mahani, because the Torah says you may not redeem them. Are you successful at redeeming them when you do redeem them? The Torah says no. Fine, so you go ahead and you redeem it. Are you successful or not successful at redeeming it? Machloket Abaye and Rava. I gave the example before, Brit Milah on Shabbat, where it's not the eighth day. And do Brit Milah on Shabbat. You're violating the Shabbat in order to do the Brit Milah. Now it might relate to the fact of whether Brit Milah is an action, you need to do a Maisa Milah, or you just have to have a shame, Mahul, on you afterwards. So it might relate to that. But if you say that you require a Maisa Milah, can you do a Maisa Milah on Shabbat when you're in violation of Shabbat? All these things, you can come up with cases that they differ in. Tos leaves it as a Tzorach Yun. He says, I don't know. I don't know why the Gemara didn't go in that direction. I don't understand why the Gemara doesn't see a Nafkamina over here. Then, Rashi has a Lishna Achrina over there. Lishna Achrina, now not in the Gemara. The Gemara will have a Lishna Achrina in a second. Rashi has a Lishna Achrina about what it means, Shinui Koneh. He says it's referencing back to the case that we had on Vovo Min Aleph. Didn't we just answer that case? You look back also. Said, didn't we discuss Shinui Koneh? We answered it. So Rashi says, Nimrani Matinu Lameimar B'Shinui Koneh, Kugoni Gazali Tzim, Vasan Kelim, Tzemer, Vasan Begadim. To the Baikana, Venu Mishalim, that you are Koneh, you don't have to pay it back. Ala Itzim, Tzemer, the original stolen item, the Rav, Alo Kana. You did not acquire it, Mishalim, and Gadim Akalim. You have to give back whatever you made. V'chi parchin on the El Rovo, Mahadoktania Gozalitim Vasan Kelim. Did you ask that question already? Lo Tema Shiny Hotam Dichtiv Asher Gazal. Don't give that answer, Asher Gazal. Alohochi Tema. Ana Damri Kaman Damar Shinui Lokani. I hold like the other position, the Plukta Yibi Baba Kama. We have a Machloket in Banakama, whether Shinui is Koneh or Shinui is Enu Koneh. So Machloket Abayin Rava will be whether Shinui is Koneh or Eino Koneh. And Rava's position, Rava's answer will be, I don't have to answer you, Abaye, about this question because I just hold like the other Tana who says Shinui, Eino Koneh. And that'll be the difference between us. The difference between us will be in Shinui Koneh. So here, it's as if the Gemara is retracting the answer that Rava gave before by Shinui Koneh. It's saying now the nafkamina between them is Shinui Koneh. Now that's useful because then at least there is a nafkamina between them that the Gemara is acknowledging. Plus there are other nafkamina. But not that the Gemara is just ending with their hands up and saying we don't have any nafkamina between them, which is very difficult. Now you have a Lishna Achrina in the Gemara. V'hani Shinui Dishaninan. Bob, we said that the possibility was that they argued in Birbit Kitsutsa. That they argued about interest. L'Abaye lo mahader ribit, l'Rava mahader ribit. According to Abaye, you don't return the interest. According to Rava, you have to return the interest. Me and Machlokes Rav Elazar, Rav Yochanan. Where it says, V'Abaye nami sover mafkinan ribit k'tzutza b'dayanim. Doesn't Abaye hold you have to return ribit midoraita, and the courts can enforce that? Demar Abaye. Hadein mesik v'chavrei arba zuzei b'ribita. Person has an outstanding loan. The debtor now owes interest of 4 zuz to the creditor. The creditor comes into his store and is pressing him for the interest that he didn't pay yet. He owes 4 zuz in interest. He hasn't paid it yet. So he has no money on him. He says, look, just take that coat over there. But the coat's really worth 5 and not 4. Okay, take this for the interest. So now we come to court. That when he gets goes to go court to get enforced to get the interest paid back, he only gets the 4 back. That extra zuz that he gave him as a gift. He didn't owe him that extra zuz in interest. So when he gave it to him, it was a gift. We take the whole thing back. My time. He only gave him the cloak because he owed him interest. He didn't give him, he doesn't want to have a relationship with this guy. He's not giving gifts to this guy. He owed him interest. So he paid the cloak in lieu of interest. He gave him the cloak. So we'll get it back, the cloak, the full amount. But the only thing, the machloket there between Abaye and Rava is that extra zuz. Everybody agrees the 4 that you can take back. The ribit itself you can take back. So that cannot be the machloket between Abaye and Rava. Elokim kemiflegei Abaye and Rava mishinoi koneh. Again, then the Gemara comes back to the same answer. The Shlishna Achrina just says, the machloket between Rav Elazar and Yochanan cannot be the machloket of Abaye and Rava. Because Abaye himself holds like Rabbi Elazar, that you can take it out. So you can return the ribit. And therefore that can't be the machloket. Then we come to the same conclusion. Rashi writes about this. Rashi Garcina, Lishna Achrina, Bani Shinui the Shninan, Uben Hai Lishna, the Lishna the Shmiali, the Shinui Kone, Lekamidi. The difference between this Lashon and the Lashon I had before is that Yushalmi v'zeh Bavli. That's Yushalmi and Bavli. First of all, it's amazing. Generally, you do not find Rashi quoting Yushalmi, and generally, he does not deal with Yushalmi. He quotes Mechota, he quotes, but he does not generally quote Yushalmi. Number two is, how did the Yushami get interposed into the Bavli? All of a sudden, it's like inserted into the Bavli. It's very interesting. Again, it goes to what we've spoken about a number of times here in Temura, that the Girsaot are very difficult and that it wasn't well redacted. And so the insertions, whether the Lishna Achrina are inserted by others or whether they were not well redacted or there was uncertainty about the Girsa, comes about because of this fact. And we see that. There's so much in way of Girsa issues here without throughout the Gemara. Either one way we finished them according to Rashi is it's inconclusive. The other way the conclusion is Shinui Koneh, that there is this one difference between them. And obviously then there'll be more differences. Whereas just giving through the cases that they give, one of the example of a case where there's a nafkamina between them. What's the Torah telling us? Kol asher bum, that you cannot bring it on the Mizbeach. So im belo tishchatu. If you want to say that the lota kriv over here means that you're not allowed to shecht it, are ikvar amur, lamato. It already tells us about this below. Elamata mulomar, balta kriv, what does it mean? Do not bring it. Balta kdishu. Do not be magdishit. Bikan amru, from here they said, a magdish balei mumim, the gabi mizbeach. Someone who is magdish, a bal mum, to the mizbeach, over mishum chamisha shemot, is in violation of 5 levim. So you know, this is like a flashback. We dealt with this in the question that we asked in Abaye and Rava, that you're not allowed to be magdish, a bal mum. The answer is yes, we already know that from back then, that it works. That was one of the questions on Rava, that it works. But over here, the Gemara is going back to deal with that issue and say, what was the violation? Where did you, by Magdisha Balmum, what was your violation? It first brings us a cryptic statement, a cryptic Tanaic work, and then the Gemara is going to go back and break it down. So it says, Yer Chayav for Chamisha Shemot, which is 5 Lavim Mishum. Now you have to wipe out Bal Takrivu, because we already said Bal Takrivu doesn't exist. Bal Takrivu really is Bal Takdishu. So here you have to say Baltakhir Baltakdishu is one. A better way is to eliminate the gears of Baltakhir is Baltakdishu is one. Baltishchatu is two. Baltishraku is number three. Bal taktiru kulo, do not be maktir, the whole thing is four. And bal taktiru mitzato, do not be maktir, but part of it is five. Shim Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, he adds on a six, afro af me'ad kabbalat dam. Even on the kabbalat dam, you're in violation over there. So amamar, now we're going to go back and break down the braita. Im bal tishchatu, if you have bal tishchatu, if you think when the Torah says, kol asher bo mum lo takrivu, and then has a mum in it, do not bring it. If you think that's referring to Shechita, don't say that, because Shechita is already Amur Lamata, said below. So where is it said below? Matam Lomar. Hari Amur Lamata, Heichan Amur. Where is it said? Where does it say Lo Tishkatu? The Tanya. Averet O Shavur O Charutz O Yabelet Lo Takrivu. Anything with any of these mumim in it, Lo Takrivu. So Matam Lomar. So what does it mean then? Im Lo Taktishu Hari Kvar Amur Lamalo. If you want to say the Easter, the restriction here is to not be Magdishit, that's already said the mala. Elamal talmud lomar baltakrivu. What does it mean baltakrivu? Baltishchatu. That means baltishchatu. So you have the word lotakrivu used twice. Once by the case of kol asher bomum lotakrivu. And then again you have the term lotakrivu used when it says averet o shavur charutz o yavela lotakrivu. So the word lotakrivu can't be mean the same thing in both cases. You can't have it mean lotakrivu in both cases. So what does it mean? In one case, the first case it means don't be makdishit. In the second case, it means, do not be shochetet. Don't be shochetet, bal mum, the mizbeach. So what does it mean? Lo takrivu means, lo tishchatu. V'isheh lo nitnu mehem. So the pasuk continues, and you may not put from them on the fire, elu ishim. In the elu kulan, over there it says, you may not put the entirety of the animal on them, miksatan min island. How do you know that even if a portion of it is put on the mizbeach, it's problematic? Tamalomar mehem. V'isheh lo titnu mehem. Even from amongst them, mean a portion of them may not go on the mizbeach. Zukat dami min ayin. How do I know that zukat dami is also restricted? Tam lomar ala mizbeach l'Hashem. Rabot, sira mishtaleach. So it says, ala mizbeach. You may not place it on the mizbeach. What goes on the mizbeach? That's the zrikat adam. L'Hashem, because you include even a sa'ir l'mishtaleach, that it may not have a mum in it. So now, the conclusion, the Gemara is going to go on with another issue, but here we have a statement by the Gemara, makdish bali mumim, the gabi mizbeach, someone is makdish it, is over from five shemot. Five levim. Now here, makdish doesn't just simply mean to be makdish. It means someone's makdish and makriv it. He's makdish and puts it on his back. He violates five levim. Now those five levim are because of a kol asher bo mum lo takrivu. Anything that has a mum in it, you may not be makriv. And that lo takrivu we're interpreting to mean lo takdishu. Do not be makdishit. Because we have another pasuk which tells us all the other information. Which is over to shavur charutz o yabela lo takrivu. So lo tekriv over there means lo tishchatu, don't do shchita. And then v'yishe lo tenu mehem, and then on the ishim, on the mizbeach, you may not place from them. That is, you may not place any of them, and all of them on the mizbeach. And the last thing is that it's ala mizbeach, you may not place the dam. So there we have a restriction against bali mumim in the entire process of the avoda that is done to the korban. And therefore you'll be a violation of each of these levim if you bring a bal mum and you put it on the mizbeach. So now the Gemara goes back to deal with this Lashem l'rabot seir mishtaleach. The seir mishtaleach, the seir lazazel, must not have a mum in it. So now Gemara says, Lashem l'rabot too? When you have the Shem Hashem, does it really mean a riboy? V'atanya. We have an example where Lashem is a miut. I korban, when it comes to shchutei chutz. If it just said korban, shumei ani af kodshei berek abayit. I would think that includes kodshei berek abayit that we restricted in shchutei chutz. Shenikru'u korban. Because in other places, berek abayit is called korban. Kidyan shenemar. So it talks about in the battle with Midyan, minikrovit korban Hashem. Korban Hashem over there refers to a gift, not to a korban. Tamalomar, vel petach moed lo hevio. So there we learn out, haro'ui the petach moed chavien alav, mishum shchutei chutz. That only something that otherwise would have been brought to the mizbeach, or to the mishkan, or to the mikdash, that's your chayav for shchutei chutz, if you don't bring it. About any row the petach omoei, berak abayit that has no requirement that it be brought to the petach omoei in chayav alav mishum shochetei chutz. You're not chayav on shchutei chutz. So we learned this already in Chulin, right, that it only relates to those korbanot that have a requirement of being going on the mizbeach. What's ra'oi the mizbeach has a problem of shchutei chutz. Otzi ani et elu. Therefore, I'm excluding these items berak abayit. So I will exclude those things that berak abayit. Lo otzi parat chatat v'seir mishtaleach. Parat chatat and seir mishtaleach do have a requirement. Petach Omoed, they do have a requirement of being Tmimim. Shem ra'uyim lepedachol moed. They have to be tmimim. Since they are tmimim, they are ra'uyim lepedachol moed, despite the fact that their avoda is done outside. Parat chatat is shechted on the harazitim, and the sayyim ishtalech is sent out hamidbara lazazel. But nevertheless, they have to be tmimim. So they are ra'uyim lepedachol moed. They can be brought as karbanot. So Talmud Omar, Lashem. Mishim yuchadim Lashem, yetzu elu shem yuchadim Lashem. Only that which is miuchad, designated for Hashem, designated to be brought on the Mizbeach, Lashem meaning that it's being mukrav to Hashem. The parat chatat is not mukrav Lashem, right? It's being shechted to Lashem Hashem. It's not in a gift or directed to Hashem, and neither is the Seir Mistaleach. Again, these raise other theological questions, but we're not going to get into that right now. Yetzuelo Hashem yuchadim Lashem. These are not miuchadim Lashem, therefore they're not included in the din of Shchutei Chutz. So you see there that the word Lashem is a miut. It excludes parat chatat and excludes Seir Mishtaleach. And over here, you want to say Lashem comes to include a Seir Mishtaleach for the issue of Balei Mumim? So, Amar Rava, no problem. Hatamin Yonah Dekra. You have to look at the context. Amar Rava, Hatamin Yonah Dekra. Everything is got to do with the context. There it says El Petach Omoed is a riboy. Petach Omoed comes to include other things. Anything that would come to Petach is with the Petach Omoed. Therefore, Lashem is Lotzi. Therefore, Hashem is to exclude as a miut. You already have a riboy to include things. That means that Hashem is coming to narrow that riboy. Hacha d'ishei lahutzi. Over here, where you already have a narrowing of miut on the pasuk of ishei, therefore Hashem, that's modifying it, is coming to be the rabot, to expand that narrow explanation. So again, it's the context. Hashem that follows a riboy is going to be a miut. It's a modifier that is ma'it, the riboy. Then if Hashem is modifying a miut, then it's coming to expand on the miut. So now the Gemara steps back and says, wait, Taima dekrav kra Lashem, who? Delo mighty Seir Mishtaleach. You're telling me the whole reason you can't bring a Seir Mishtaleach with a mum in it is because the pasuk says Lashem? Halo Rabbi kra Lashem. Had the pasuk not said Lashem, have I mean a Seir Mishtaleach bal mum shapir dami? That you could bring a Seir Mishtaleach that's a bal mum, no problem? Michtei. Ain't a goral kovei ala b'davar ha-ro'oi. That the goral only determines which one is Lashem, which one is Lazel, if they're both ro'uim. You don't know which one's going to be Lashem, you don't know which one's going to be Lazazel. So when the Kohen Gadol goes to take out the lots to decide which of these two animals is Lashem and Lazazel, either one of them could be the Hashem and each one could be the Azazel. That means that both of them have to be ro'uim. They both have to be ready to go and to be on the Mizbeach. Because if not, then there's no lottery here. There's no lottery because one of them is a Baal Mum, and that one has to be the one that goes Lazazel. So therefore, you have to have two Re'uim, two Tmimim. So why do you need a Pasuk to teach me that? I know that from the way that it's executed. Amar Rav Yosef Hamani, this is Tanana Mitzrihi. Damar afilu dam bakos mevi chavero mezavigle. Even if you have a problem with one of the two Se'irim, and you ejected the Seir Lashem, and now it's gone already, and there's blood in the cup, and then the Seir Lazazel dies. So he says over there, mevi chavero, you bring another one, umezavegle, and you put them together, you can bring a replacement for the Seir Lazazel. So what the thought of the Gemara is here, over there, you're bringing a replacement for the Seir Lazazel, you know exactly what you're replacing. Over there, you know the Seir Lashem is still, the blood of the Seir Lashem is in the cup now. The one you need to replace is the Seir Lazazel. But if you know you're replacing the Seir Lazazel, maybe you can bring it with a mum. Because you know you're replacing something that's not going on the Mizbeah. Where it says, wait a minute. That when you have a problem, one of them dies, that it does not create dichui. I mean, it does not nullify or does not disqualify the Seir Lashem. And you're allowed to bring another partner over there. But delo tzarech hagolah, mi shemaitlei. Who says he doesn't have to do another lottery? He does another lottery, and then the one that turns out to be Lazazel will replace the first one of Lazazel, and the one Lashem will go out to graze and wait for it to get a mum, and then it will be redeemed. But who says you don't have to do a lottery over it? Who says you just bring a Seir Lazazel and you replace it? So therefore you're stuck back in step one, which is that if you're going to do another Hagolah, you need both of them to be Ru'im. This is authored by Rabbi Shimon, the Tanya. There you have it explicit. One of them dies, you bring the other party, I mean the one that's missing, without a hagrala. Divrei Rabbi Shimon. So according to that, you know if the Azazel died, you're bringing Azazel. You know, maybe you could bring it with a mum. That's why I need the word Hashem to teach me no mumim in the Seir Azazel. Rav Amar lo nitzucha ela kegon shumam bo bayom v'chilulo al chaveiro. And it got a mum in it on that day, and then he'll redeem it on its friend. Sakadat chamina. I'll explain 1 second. Sakadat Khamir, I would have thought Bishlamami Kora Lo Yadana Ihai Mikva Lashem. That originally when we bring them to Agrala, we don't know which one is going to be Lashem. Avahacha came into Inka Shem Lo Loki. Over here, since we've already determined and we know which one is going to be Lashem, you will not get Malkot in this case. So here, the Humam, the Mum, came after the Hagrala. The Chiloh Chavirov, who Baal Mum. So he has a Baal Mum here, and he wants to be Michalal and his friend, the Kamash Vlan. Daish Chiloh Loki. The person who's Michalal is Loki, Mishom, the Igdish Baal Mum. He's being Magdish Baal Mum, the Hachi Nakat Chiloh. The love the Chiloh Baal Mum, like of Malkot, to look to Tishu ala Sheni. Why would you have Malkot to look to Tishu on the second one? You're not being Makdish, you already have a Seir L'Shem. So there's no Iser of Lotakdishu on the second one. So how do you create a Kedusha? You try to be Michalel, you try to redeem the Seir L'Zazel on a Baal Mum. So over here you already have a determination of which one is the Seir L'Zazel. So I would think that at this point, having a Mum is not an issue anymore. It has a Mum. So let me go be Michalel El Al-Khaviro. I'll go be Michalel this Baal Mum on another animal that has a Mum on it. The Seir L'Zazel already has a Mum in it. I have to redeem it, I have to replace it. So I'll replace it. I can take it and I can redeem it on another Baal Mum. Why not? So if you look at the Rashi on the top of the Amud, I would have thought, which one's going to be in the lottery? And therefore, up front, I needed to be a Tamim. But once you've already gone through the lottery, at that point, I would think that there's no more restriction against it being a Baal Mum. And therefore, if you redeem the Seir L'Zazel into a Baal Mum, you try to be Mechalel into a Baal Mum, there will be no restriction being Magdish Baal Mum because it's already post-fact. It's already after the Hagrala. And then, Rashi brings an alternative Girsa in the whole Gemara. Nevelishna Achrina and Rashi, which gives a whole other reading of the Gemara. I'll read it through with you now. Lishna Achrina, you can see in Rashi, the second line down in the Rashi. Va'in Goral Koveya. Amrav Yosef Hamani Chanan HaMitzri Hi Delo Bay HaGola. This is Chanan HaMitzri who doesn't require a lottery. Tanya, Vabrayt HaChanet HaMitzri Omer Afilu Dam O Shol Seir HaNaseh Bifnim Bekos Umeit. Kulmar Shvar Nishchat Umeit Seir HaMishtaleach. The Seir HaShem was already Nishchat. And the Seir HaMishtaleach dies. Mevi Chaviro, Mevi Seir HaCher Min HaShuk UMezaveglo. You bring another Seir from the Shuk and you put it right in there. You stand him up right next to the blood to show it to Chaviro. And then he sends him out. Then you don't have any more question about the pasuk. You don't have to bring two. And do agrala and check one of them. Shame. And the first one was there. Who says he doesn't need agrala at all? So the original assumption was that Chanan HaMitzri did not require agrala. The conclusion is that Chanan HaMitzri might require agrala. He doesn't require agrala to say that we start from scratch. As required, Hagolah, you stand over from zero. He said, you bring a Seir L'Zazel, you put it together with the coast. We thought our Havamina was that Chanan HaMitzri believed that you don't need any new Hagolah. You just bring him and you put him in as a Seir L'Zazel. The Gemara says, maybe not. Maybe what Chanan HaMitzri is saying is you don't need a new Hagolah to start the whole process over again. But you do need a Hagolah to determine which one is a Seir L'Zazel to join with the cup of blood, which is the Seir L'Shem. It's a question of which one will be the Seir L'Shem. Our Havamina was that you don't need a Hagolah at all. The Gemara says, no, maybe what Chanan HaMitzri is saying is that the new Agrala will not determine which is the Seir L'Hashem. The original will remain the Seir L'Hashem. It's just a question of determining which one is the Seir L'Hazel. So then, the Gemara will continue. Hamani the Matzukral are both Seir, Delo La'avi Baal Mum, Rabbi Shimon, Delet Le'Agrala. And then the Gemara will continue on like we had over here. It's just that it has a different Havamina in Chanan HaMitzri. Chanan HaMitzri originally thought didn't have to have a Hagrala, and then the conclusion was that he does need a Hagrala. Our Gemara started out that Chanan HaMitzri just brings a din, and then the Gemara answers what the conclusion of that Gemara is in Lishna Achrina and Rashi. So what we had here, just in this piece of Gemara, after the conclusion of the Machlokes Abaye and Rava was, Gemara talks about the Isur, the restriction against being Makdish Balei Mumim. Gemara says, how do I know that? That comes out of the Pasuk L'Takrivu, and it must be that that's talking about Makdish, because we have another L'Takrivu that already dealt with Shkita. And then the Braita concludes that there are five lavin that you violate if you bring a Baal Mum and put it on the Mizbeach. The Gemara went through all those issues, where we get those lavin from. And at the end, the Gemara says, Vashem comes to tell you that there's a restriction against having a Baal Mum for a Parchatat and for a Seir L'Zazel. Gemara then says, okay, why do I need Vashem to teach me that a Seir L'Zazel cannot be a Baal Mum? already know Asir Lazil can't be a Balmum because he has to be Ra'ui Lashem. He has to be brought to have the lottery placed on him, and then the lottery has to be Ra'ui Lashem. So therefore I know that already from the Psukim. The Gemara concludes, it's according to those opinions that think that you can have a situation in which you have the Asir Lazil without a Hagrala, without it being Ra'ui Lashem. First tried Chanan HaMitzri, we concluded that it's Rabbi Shimon. And then Rabbah brought another situation where it's post-Hagrala. The mum happened post-Hagrala. The person is trying to be Magdish or Mimichalel to say is a Zel on another Baal mum. So that would be the case, again, when you're in violation with regards to the Seir is a Zel, but still not captured by the issue of the Hagrala. In the middle there, we dealt with the separate issue is whether Lashem can be Le Rabot or can be Le Ma'et. And so we spoke about the difference in context. It depends on the context whether Hashem is Mirabe or Hashem is Mima'et. Okay, we'll stop with that.